Go Set Magazine.
Hi there, swinging cats. James Valentine with you. We're looking back at the life and times of Go Set Magazine. One of the biggest overseas acts to come to Australia during the 1960s was the Rolling Stones. In a similar way to the Beatles before them in 1964, their 1966 tour created scenes of mass teenage excitement. Some parents had reservations about this uncouth group of young men, as this BBC interview from 1967 illustrates.
Let's spend the night together
Let's spend the night together, an invitation that caused a certain amount of bother for the Rolling Stones. The Stones are used to being accused by some people of being a bad moral influence on the young. Their singer Mick Jagger talked about his own attitudes to Sandra Harris.
One of the big things that most adults, or most middle-aged people anyway, have against you is the fact that you seem to have absolutely no morals whatsoever, no conventional morals. Is this true?
Yeah. I haven't got their morals, and they haven't got mine. I mean, I've got my own. I really believe that most people actually have. I mean, people try and say they follow a moral code. They might say, I'm a Christian, for instance. And when it comes down to it, they really don't follow the moral Christian code at all.
Your latest song, you've been quoted as saying that this doesn't mean that whoever is singing this song is suggesting that they go to bed together. In fact, do you care whether people think that or not?
No, I don't really mind what they think about it. It's very simple to me. I mean, I don't really mind if they go to bed together either. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
The Rolling Stones arrived in Australia shortly after Go Set first began in February 1966. Here's some highlights of their tour coverage.
Sydney has never seen a more electrifying act than the Rolling Stones on stage. As the audience at the auditorium grew more excited, Mick stalked the stage. Every now and then he'd turn and look searchingly at the audience at the back of the auditorium. If they couldn't scream anymore, they fainted.
Between shows, we asked Mick Jagger what he thought of the Australian groups he'd seen so far.
I think part of the reason they're so unsophisticated is that living in Australia keeps them more or less isolated. They're away from the central streams of musical thought.
Drummer Charlie Watts was asked if he knew Prince Charles was in Australia.
Yeah, you bet. I really don't think people over here care much about whether he's here or not. But I think going to school at Timbertop would be rather like going to prison.
No colours anymore, I want them to turn black.
We were standing nearby when a rather cute little femme journalist began asking Mick about his love life. Funny how the cute ones always turn up with the notebook. Elementary psychology, I guess.
Would you like to tell us something about Chrissy?
Who's Chrissy?
Your girlfriend.
Is she? Oh, I thought you were talking about my brother Chris.
What about your girlfriend, Chrissy Shrimpton?
I never talk about her.
And so it ended.
Another of the big touring artists to arrive in Australia during the 60s came in a wave of hysteria in 1968.
Here we come, walking down the street.
The atmosphere at Sydney's Mascot Airport was electric. Dozens of fans had camped the night outside the international terminal, waiting patiently for the moment that the huge Qantas airliner would touch down with Peter, Davey, Mickey and Mike on board. The morning sky was clear. Suddenly, almighty screams hit the peaceful air. Pandemonium broke loose as Davey, Mickey, Peter and Mike appeared on the aircraft steps. Cameras whirred, the press surged forward. DJs thrust microphones into the faces of the smiling monkeys, hoping to record a few golden words. Monkey mania had hit Australia.
Next moment, there they were! The monkeys in person! Exactly as I imagined them to be, only 5 billion times better. They look resplendent in their red velvet identical suits. How I loved every one of them. Peter was jumping about excitedly on stage. Davey was smiling at everyone. Mickey was clowning around on the drums. And Mike was standing on the side playing guitar. I tried to scream, but I couldn't. I tried to shout out at them, but I'd lost my voice. Something inside me kept building up and building up. And I had to let this feeling out. If I did not, I felt I would bust. I made a frantic dash to the stage. I fought fiercely with 3 or 4 bouncers. I was screaming. I saw a camera light flashing. I heard the music and the fans. I saw the crowd and the flashing lights. And then suddenly, Davey looked down at me and smiled. And for one split second, he smiled at me.
And I don't know if I'm ever coming home.
That's how one Monkees fan remembered the concert she saw by winning a Go Set competition.
Throughout the 4 days that the Monkees have stayed in Melbourne, high-spirited fans have kept a constant vigil outside their motel, chanting and singing, "We love the Monkees! We want Davey!"
Go Set drew comparisons between the Monkees and the Beatles, its readers arguing who was the more popular in the letters pages. The Monkees, however, were accused by many in the music industry of being a manufactured creation of Columbia Screen Gems and having no talent of their own. The BBC spoke to Monkey Davy Jones about this in 1967.
Yes, I think I'm right in saying that the backing on your LP was not in fact played by your own.
The backing on the LP and the first two singles was studio musicians, as is with 95% of the groups nowadays. You know, I've been to sessions with top groups in Hollywood, man, that don't play on their own sessions.
Fair enough.
But nobody makes a big deal out of it. I know some groups that don't sing on their own sessions. They just go out on the road because they look good.
There was that surge of interest in the Monkees which amounts almost to hysteria. Does this worry you at all?
No, not as long as I've got lots of people around to take care of it.
To take care of you or take care of the fans?
To take care of us.
I mean, at the airport yesterday, quite a lot of girls...
Well, I was a bit upset about that because I didn't know the kids were going to be there, for one thing. When I got off the plane and they were all there, it was a kind of a shock to me. And I wanted to go over there and at least wave and let them see that I was here so they could all go home. They were all there 6 hours after I left, which was a drag.
The Monkees split up a few months after the tour when member Peter Tork left the group. Next time we meet, we'll look at some of the artists who toured Australia in the 70s. Hope you can join us then.